Welcome back into Sports Talk. Going to dip more into our Sound Bank, brought to you by the Sound Banking of First American. Had quarterback great Drew Brees drop by talking to another one of our greats in Bobby Hebert, also Mike Dettillier. They were out at the NOLA Pickleball Fest yesterday talking about a bunch of things from the pickleball tournament, obviously, to Saints football as well. Well, Hebert and Dettillier asked Brees, what were his thoughts on this offense going into this year with Clint Kubiak running the system?
What I haven't seen is just consistency. You know, I'd say last year, look, we finished the year playing great, but unfortunately we were in too big of a hole that we weren't able to pull out of it. I think you want to feel like, number one, each and every week you're getting a little bit better, or you're playing, you kind of know what your bread and butter is. Like, you know what your identity is. You know what you're kind of leaning on, right? And I'd say over the last couple of years, we've had certainly a top 10, if not a top 5 defense, as long as we can stay healthy, right?
Yep.
Up front. Look, I love our offensive line, but we got to stay healthy, right?
Wait, you say you love our offensive line too? Come on, that's you sure.
I played
that.
With all these guys. Look, no, those guys were young guys when I was.
You didn't play with
there.
Trevor Penny.
No.
You guys, look, we're replacing 3 new starters. I mean, look at Jari Evans, Carl Nix. I look at Teron Armstead, Drew. Come on, be honest. We don't have that kind of offensive line.
Here's the thing. You can
make them look better.
You work together. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, you can't be standing back there for 5 seconds and expect them to block that long. You can't. The better you are in the pass game, the more that you can sustain drives, the more you wear down a defense, the more you're able to dent the defense in the run game. Like, all these things, they work together, you know?
Yeah, and Drew, and I've said this about, like, the Drew Brees of the world or the top quarterbacks, that you can make the offensive line better than what they are just by getting rid of the ball and knowing where to go with the ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, the ball's coming out. You might say, well, you know, he took a sack, the quarterback. Well, I look at it, I go, well, he should have got rid of the ball. See, I think at times when you always want to hit that splash play, that chunk play, take what the defense gives you. So also Derek Carr can help the offensive line be better, even though you don't have across the board like the Jari Evans, Teron Armsteads.
Yeah, look. Bottom line is, offensively, you have to be able to control the line of scrimmage, and you do that through being able to run the football. And that doesn't mean that you're getting these huge splash plays. That could just be, man, just 3 and 4 yards, just dent the defense, use the passing game as an extension of the run game, which was a hallmark of our offense with Sean Payton.
Right.
Right? I mean, so much of those throws were, man, it's getting the ball out of our hands. There's nothing more demoralizing for a defensive line than all of a sudden you feel like, man, I beat my guy, I put together a great move or a counter move, and I'm right on the quarterback and he gets the ball out of his hands, right? So in my mind, I was thinking to myself, man, I'm not taking a sack on this drive. I'm getting the ball out of my hands because I want the D-line to recognize that, man, no matter how good I play or how fast I get to the quarterback, he's going to get the ball out, so it's not making a difference. And you can change their mentality. Now, if you want to feed their ego and allow them to get negative plays and allow them to make these game-killing drive plays.
Hold on to the ball.
Yeah, exactly. So I like this Kubiak offense. I've always loved the Shanahan offense, right? So I think our ability to run the ball with this zone scheme, I think it's going to open up all kinds of throwing lanes. Look, I think these two receivers, Olave and Shahid, need to show as much consistency in the intermediate passing game as their ability to make the big splash plays.
Well, Drew, that was one thing, and I took pride in this too. You know, you talk about the short pass play. Just be accurate as a quarterback. To me, if you ever think, oh, he could throw it a country mile, no, that doesn't matter. No, be accurate so the yards after the catch, so you're hitting him in stride, maybe away from the defender. It might have been an 8-yard throw. All of a sudden, it's a 15-yard gain. Just being accurate with the football. To me, that's the number one thing that I've noticed with any quarterback. It's good that you can extend plays with your feet and all that, but you still have to be accurate. It doesn't matter that you can't throw it 80 yards. You got to be accurate with the football.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Accuracy to me is trust and anticipation, right? So if you trust the guys you're throwing to, you trust in the system, you're able to anticipate, you know, based on your preparation and your game plan, then that's when accuracy comes. And you hit guys in stride, you give them the ability to front up the defense and make plays. Look, we have playmakers. I think we have playmakers all over the place. But now it's, man, can we stay healthy enough up front and then develop the confidence throughout the course of a game where, hey, we're playing complementary football on both sides. We can develop a lead. Now, all of a sudden, you call plays with different level of confidence. You throw the ball with a different level of confidence. That's kind of the world we want to live in.
That was Drew Brees with Bobby Hebert and Mike Dettillier yesterday at NOLA Pickle Fest talking a little about that Saints offense. And, man, you got to love the Cajun cannon. Not afraid to call out Brees when he's talking about, oh, I love this offensive line. I play with these guys. He's you never played with Trevor Penning.
And Trevor Penning is still the biggest question mark on that front. We had a text earlier saying when we were talking about Penning versus Chase and how he, you know, he just got burnt at the end of that practice.
Yeah.
So, guys, so if I follow what you're saying, Chase ate Penning's lunch in practice. So next year, Chase moves on to another team and gets paid, and we're stuck with a busted offensive tackle. Yeah, Pat, I don't know, man. It's definitely a way to look at it. The thing with Penning is that, you know, Ross put this as well as far as Penning's work throughout training camp as a whole, right? Because that was just one practice session, that it's been up and down. That's what we've heard.
It hasn't all been terrible with those back-to-back-to-back sacks he gave up.
If it was all terrible, I don't think he would still be running with the first teams. He's shown flashes at points, and DA's talked about how he's improved specifically in the run game, which is good. I mean, that's a start. But the pass game, if he's given up back-to-back-to-back sacks in these like 2-minute drills that they were apparently running with Derek Carr in the first team, and Young was just burning him time after time again, that's when things get a little bit concerning. So, yeah, I mean, Bobby had a good point. Like, there's not a Teron Armstead. There's not, you know, Jari Evans or Carl Nix, like these great offensive linemen of the past with the Saints offensive line. But, I mean, you got pieces up front. Like, I mean, Eric McCoy is still solid. Bobby always says he's not Max Unger, but he's still solid, right? And Cesar Ruiz, maybe he's not, you know, necessarily a all-pro level talent, but he's a decent right guard. And you have very high expectations for someone like Taliese Fuaga, your first-round pick, that you're moving to left tackle, and by all reports, has been really, really solid. Now, the left guard spot and the right tackle spot are the last two that are kind of up for, like, consideration, I guess you would say. Left guard right now, it seems to be Lucas Patrick, because Saldivari's been missing time with that calf injury.
Right.
And then right tackle is Penning right now. If he just continues to get burnt, which is the one thing that I want to emphasize, is that up and downs means that there has been ups for Trevor Penning at camp. It hasn't been all bad. But
you just hear about the bad stuff,
obviously. You hear about the bad stuff because they're offensive linemen, and when you're talking about them, typically it is negative.
Right, there's never the report, oh my gosh, Trevor Penning at training camp practice today completely pancaked, you know, Chase Young or whoever you want to say.
You could probably hear from that because, I mean, that would get people fired up. Like, oh, maybe he's not a complete bust. But at the same time, you have these high expectations for this guy moving from left to right. A former first-round pick, he's got to be able to work out. And if he doesn't, then you're kind of stuck. So, I mean, yeah, Drew, they do need to stay healthy. That is for sure.
But at the same time, continuity is important, right?
Like you need to see that first team play better than they did last year.
Got to protect QB number one in Cajun Cannon, Mike Dettillier, as Drew Brees. His thoughts on quarterback Derek Carr for the Black and Gold.
I think Derek Carr, now being familiar with the team that he's on, he's going to have success. How would you view Derek? Because, you know, it's always like, what are you doing for me lately? What are you going to do this season? That I think Derek Carr, I'm not saying in the top five, whatever, but Derek Carr is a legitimate starting quarterback, I think.
Look, there's no question. I've seen Derek Carr operate. Like, this goes back to his early years
with the Raiders
and with John Gruden. Like, John Gruden offense is not an easy offense, right? It's basically our offense, but I would argue even wordier. I think Gruden had a tendency to make it super wordy and put a ton on the quarterback. And I would watch those primetime games where everybody's mic'd up, and I would listen to Carr. I would watch him. I know what he's looking for. You know enough about these teams now where you know when they get to the ball and it's a check with me situation. And then based on what the defense is doing, here's where I'm going. And, man, I sensed a confidence, and I sense that, like, hey, I can read this, I know what I'm doing, I'm getting this into the right play. I've seen that guy play some incredible games and step up in some really, really clutch moments. Here he comes to a new team with new personnel, new environment, and look, last year, like I said, I think for the whole team was just somewhat inconsistent. But now we come into this year, he's got a year with this team and with this personnel under his belt. He's got a system now that is incorporating, I think, the best of what he's done in the past, incorporated with, I think, the best of what this system brings over from the Niners.
San Fran.
Yeah. Complemented with a great defense that has great leadership and I think is poised to have, you know, another kind of top 10, top 5 type year.
Top 10, top 5 kind of year. That'd be interesting to see for this Black and Gold offense. Obviously, we would love if they can get back in those ranks. But I was surprised. What was it? Last year, scoring offense was ranked number 9 in the NFL.
I want to circle back around to what Drew said in that first clip as well, Steve, because we didn't really talk about it. He talked about the inconsistencies and how, after a slow start, they had to make it up at the end. And they did have a strong finish to the season last year. But if you're looking at the start to this season, and we've also said this before, it's like, you know, you're playing the Panthers week one, and then you have the Cowboys on the road week two, you're back home against the Eagles week three, and then you're on the road back-to-back weeks against the Falcons and Chiefs. that is a supremely important first 5 weeks, but it's also one where you're maybe not expecting to pick up a ton of wins. Like, so Steve, you had sent me something.
No, Bobby had mentioned 3-3. He'd be pleased
after six,
with, right.
Right, but that's through five. Now, there is a stretch through October, basically into November, where I think the Saints can potentially make some hay, even if they start out slow.
You're looking at after, at home against the Bucs, the Broncos.
After that Chiefs game, you host the Bucs, you host the Broncos, you go to the Chargers, you go to the Panthers, and you host the Falcons.
Yeah, as much as the Cajun Cannon is a Harbaugh and Chargers believer, I am not.
I'm not a believer. The Broncos and the Panthers in that stretch is very interesting because, I mean, if you're looking at some preseason rankings, I think Fox had that at 31-32. The Broncos at 31, obviously the Panthers at 32. And you can make the argument that New England's also in that conversation too in the bottom three teams of the NFL. But that's some spots, right, to pick up some wins. Same thing with the Chargers. Yes, they have a great quarterback in Justin Herbert, but this first year under Harbaugh, what's really the expectation for them?
Who's running the ball out there? Who's catching the ball out there?
Exactly. Who are their playmakers? Quentin Johnson, who drops every other pass that's thrown his way? I don't know, man. So between that, obviously the Bucs at home, that's a big one too. That's so after those first five games where you could potentially see the Saints get off to a slow start, there's that stretch basically from October 13th when they host the Buccaneers until around November 10th when they host the Falcons, where they can pick up some wins. And maybe at that point, if you do have that good end to the season, you're not in such a big hole to where you have to, like, it's so necessary to go 4-1 in your last five games to just be in the playoff conversation versus 4-1 in your last five could solidify a playoff spot. You know what I mean? So, you know, we'll see how it all kind of plays out. But that's kind of what I think Drew was talking about as far as inconsistencies early on. You get off to a slow start and then you've dug yourself a hole. You're forced to, you know, go on a run late in the season. But if you, you know, kind of dig yourself a little bit of an early hole, like a lot of people expect with this team, there is that stretch in the middle of the season where you can get out of it before the end of the season, if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, all I know is game one against the Carolina Panthers at home, you better believe in that 1-0.
Oh my goodness, if they don't. Yeah, that's going to be, it's going to be a nightmare.
Hear the music playing, so we'll take a break. When we get back, we'll get more of Drew Brees talking about Taysom Hill and what he thinks his involvement in this offense should be. Taking a break, be back with more Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Well, I want to tell you, listeners, I lied to everybody.